Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
But I do want to go back to something else that was quite important during the lockdown, and everybody reported an increase in dog napping. Now, I know in Garda Síochána Conor said they didn't notice really the increase, but then again, dogs are classed and classified under law as material objects, not like people being kidnapped, so you wouldn't really see an increase in it. The Criminal Justice Theft and Fraud Offences Amendment Pets Bill 2020 has been put forward by AIMTU leader Padraig Tobin in an attempt to penalise those who steal your family pet, and he joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you, Padraig.
Good afternoon, Niall.
Tough times for people today, particularly today after a very depressing and difficult weekend for everybody, I'm sure, including yourself, Padraig, as well. And we'll talk about that briefly in a second. But just getting back to the dog napping. Now, the guards said they didn't even notice the increase, but I think this is because of the way this crime is reported and registered, probably.
Yes, there's a couple of things. I put in a parliamentary question recently. We got back information from the Department of Justice that there actually has been an increase in the level of pet theft in the country this year. So the figure is higher this year so far in October than it was for the whole of last year and the previous year put together.
All right, so in 1 month we've seen more dog nappings than we've seen in the whole of the previous year.
No, sorry, just to make that clear.
Okay.
So in the year to date, there's been more dog nappings in 2020 than there was in 2019 or 2018.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And that's, you know, the reported ones, and obviously there's a heap of unreported dog nappings that happen as well. So just to give people a kind of background, during the lockdown, many people were at home, many people felt they would get a pet, demand rose, supply didn't, so the price increased, and all of a sudden there was a ready-made market for stolen pets. Mm-hmm. So there was a big crease anecdotally. And
We spoke to some of the people on the air who had their dogs taken, and normally the desirable-type dogs, if you know what I mean, desirable-type breeds are being stolen.
Sure. And, yeah. and can fetch money up to about $2,000 or even $3,000 for this. So these are professional gangs that are going around stealing these animals, and they're selling them in a black market in Ireland or in Britain, or they're being sold into kind of breeding farms so that more money can be made in the future. And there's even talk that some of these animals are making it to further afield than just Ireland and Britain.
Yeah.
And some of the methods they went into, for example, they were marking chalk on fences and on driveways, you know, in the daytime and came back at nighttime to rob them. You know, tie wraps or string was tied around gates to identify where to steal them. So this is a big issue. And as you rightly say in your introduction, the law doesn't differentiate between an inanimate object and a family pet.
Yeah, your bike and your pet are considered the same thing, essentially.
Roughly the same. So if I rob your mobile phone, it's the same impact in the eyes of the law and as if I rob a pet. So we know that's not true. We know that, you know, in many ways, the family pet.
A member of the family,
This is it. And if anybody who's lost a pet will tell you, like, for 3 or 4 days after, is you're brokenhearted. It's nearly a bereavement that happens in the family when you lose a pet. So we figured that, you know, we want to deter this happening in future, and the fines that existed up until now weren't even covering the cost or the price that these people were making for the dogs. So we decided to introduce a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 months. And we have produced this bill. The bill has been introduced into the Dáil, co-signed by an independent TD, Sean Canny. And the idea is to make sure that this is a real deterrent, that this stops.
But here's the thing, Padraig. We have legislation at the moment in relation to, say, animal cruelty, for example, right? And the problem with that legislation is, I mean, you've got 5 years maximum jail time for anybody who is cruel to an animal. Yet we've seen numerous stories in the paper recently about animals who've been neglected to the point of starving. Only one there during the week about a guy with a dog and a cat were both neglected. The cat had to be put down. Thankfully, they saved the dog. I think Beans was his name. They called the dog because they said, obviously, he had good beans to be able to survive what he did. Mm-hmm. But the person gets, you know, a slap on the hand and a bit of a fine, even though the judge could sentence him to 5 years. So judges are quite reluctant when it comes to dogs in cruelty to send them to jail. So what makes us think that it would be any different, that even if we do have a bill, which is great and well done to you, Padraig, I'm not saying it's not, but it's up to the judge then to interpret that and put the person in jail then, isn't it?
Yeah, so right now it's up to the judge to come up with a sentence. And, you know, politicians love to have a judge to have a free hand on what kind of sentence to impose. Because the idea is that, well, the judge is at the coalface of the actual evidence on that particular case and is better able to, you know, tailor the sentence to the particular case. But as you say, you know, right across the criminal justice system, there are numerous examples where we can point to where, you know, we're left scratching our heads going, you know, how come that person didn't actually get a serious clip on the ear or a slap on the wrist with regards to this? Because, you know, that was quite a serious offence. So what we're looking to do is create a mandatory minimum sentence.
Okay,
so,
okay.
As opposed to the mandatory maximum sentence, ours means that if a pet is stolen by one of these gangs, the judge has no choice.
10 months in jail.
His or her hands are tied. It's 10 months in jail for that individual.
Okay, well, that's a great idea. And I really, really hope that bill gets pushed through. So what stages of the bill at now?
Well, the bill has been introduced, and you'll know that there's five stages for the bill to get through the door. Yep. So we're hoping to build as much cross-party support as possible.
So I can't see why anybody would disagree with it, to be honest with you.
It is hard to know, but there's an instinct in Leinster House, unfortunately, that if it's not a government bill, the government are very reluctant to push it, unfortunately.
Okay,
but anyways, we'll push it and do our best to see
Look, it's a wonderful bill, and I hope it gets all the way through, because I think many people listening today who own a dog or a cat or indeed whatever it happens to be would be quite happy to see a bill like that go through, because many people have been victims of this, particularly over the summer months as well. But just before you go, Potter, obviously today is a very interesting day. Announcement today, probably at 6 o'clock by Micheál Martin, 4.5 or maybe 5 would be level 5 restrictions, which is going to basically close down our economy again. Either way, retail and everything closing down. Do you think it's appropriate?
No, we've said AIM2 is of the view that the government must be cautious with regards overly aggressive restrictions. From the start of this illness, we have stated that the government needs to carry out research into the impact of these restrictions on morbidity and mortality rates when you can take into consideration cancer deaths, stroke deaths, heart disease, and mental health. Like today, 24 people died of cancer. Today, 480 people got cancer in this country. Today, about 27 people will die from heart disease and stroke. And because of these restrictions, you have, first of all, capacity really being gutted from the health service, and then much hospital avoidance. So people who
Dr. Jack Lambert was on the start with the show with us, obviously disagrees with Philip Nolan and also disagrees with the way Philip Nolan attacked him last night on Twitter. And he said the hospitals are not under the pressure that the government is suggesting. And, you know, we can't be bringing in these kind of restrictions thinking that it may be under pressure. We don't know yet. At the moment, he said they're able to handle the situation. But, I mean, you mentioned in Twitter as well, I noticed that you said there is a crescendo of media panic and fear and calm is needed. But I don't think calm is happening. I think it seems to be every day we wake up and there's a panic going on as to what we're going to do next.
Yeah, I think that the political system in Ireland is responding to the media cycle at the moment, and the media cycle is living off panic and fear in this.
Well, that media cycle is particularly RTE, I think, to be honest with you. I think we're well aware of that.
Yeah, to be honest, I think RTE, you know, I've asked the question, why is RTE leading with the COVID figures in every single news bulletin? You know, if they led with those figures that I mentioned earlier on cancer and heart disease, you can bet your bottom dollar that the whole, you know, political system would start to orientate towards those illnesses. But there's a lack of balance here. Listen, this is an illness. It has a serious effect. We should do our best as a people to, you know, reduce the numbers. But we, you know, there's a cost to restrictions as well. Mm-hmm. And until the day that government carries out a research into the cost of the restrictions, that means it's not evidence-based. And, you know, that's a danger. So we're asking for the government to do that. And to be honest, like, we're here. I asked the question, why are restrictions more severe in Ireland than they are internationally? And the government say, well, internationally they have a better health system and more ICU. And I'm like, it's phenomenally
so in other words, we're getting the blame for the 30 years of incompetence that we've had when it comes to our health service.
Well, the government's talking about COVID non-stop for 7 months now. It had a budget of $18 billion last week. And yes, it's hardly moved the dial any distance with regards to capacity in the health service or ICU figures. You know, why is it that society is the front line of this illness? Why can't we build the necessary capacity within the health service to ensure that we don't have to suffer the major costs and ramifications in the rest of society?
I worked it out. I think I put it up by Twitter the other day there. It'll cost roughly, I think it was $1.2 billion I put up on Twitter in relation to just the PUP payments alone for those who will be put out of work by a level 5, for example. Surely, I mean, with about €1 billion euro, we could have God knows how many extra ICU beds and how many extra staff if we're willing to pay them quite a substantial amount of money with that kind of money, and we would save a lot of business. But there's no forward thinking, I don't think.
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, even with those PUP payments, those families, most of them will have a significant income fall. And, you know, we know that poverty is a major driver of mortality and morbidity in the future.
Well, poverty creates despair, and despair, unfortunately, creates depression, and depression, of course, we all know what that leads to.
You know, the GAA has been talked about now, and like I would say the GAA finals and championship is one of the few bloody shards of light we have in this darkness at the moment, and for them to take that down as well is only going to have a negative effect on people. I've spoken to coaches and trainers who've said that, you know, when the kids came back after the lockdown, you could see in their faces that there was, you know, they were down, that they were significantly challenged by what was happening. But, you know, week after week, training session after training session, morale lifted again. And here we are now facing into a dark winter where, you know, many of those kids are going to have those.
Well, look, it's a tough time. It's a tough time. And Sky News yesterday reported that one in four teenagers in the UK had stated that they felt like taking their own lives over the last 5 or 6 months, which I think is absolutely appalling to listen to. Well, we don't have those statistics, unfortunately. Don't we care enough to find out?
No, look, I've done the work on this to see, can we get statistics on the number of people who have taken their lives in Ireland? They're recorded by the coroner. And as you'll know, the coroner's case is often can be a year after the death has happened. But I have spoken to people who work in suicidality and mental health areas, and they have told me that the numbers anecdotally around the country are far higher than they should be. There shouldn't be any of these figures for sure, but they're far higher than the average. To be honest, I think that we have to learn to live with this illness. The government strategy at the moment is a yo-yo COVID strategy, and there's no exit plan here. Their only exit plan is that there might be a vaccine sometime in the future.
We don't even know that yet.
And we don't even know. That could be 2 or 3 years away. So,
Listen. Thank you very much, Padraig. I appreciate you coming on the air today. All right, there you go. Padraig Tobin wants to bring in legislation. We have to get a bill passed whereby you will get a minimum of a 10-month sentence if you steal somebody's dog or family pet. And I don't see anybody would disagree with that. Although at least one or two texts there disagree with it. I don't know why you would disagree with it. Just don't steal someone's dog and you won't go to jail. And obviously, Padraig believes that the government's, idea of arresting the problem of COVID-19 is not the right one, that we need to think more logically and we need to think calmly and not to go into panic every time case numbers goes up and close the country down, because it's not going to do us any good. It's not going to do our anxiety any good. It's not going to do our depression any good. And it's not going to do us any good.